Man, the Lord is faithful and true. Amen?
Amen.
This regarding what you're going through in your life, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is true. His promises last from everlasting to everlasting. I don't know how much time I've got left on this earth, but I choose what I do with that time. And when I look at you guys, I'm encouraged because what I see is a church that chooses to love God. And I pretty much know 90% of all of you guys personally. And for those of you that I don't know, I hope to get to know you. Well, praise the Lord, man. Here's the deal. Even though I know you guys personally, God knows you even more personally than what you can ever imagine. You see, there's nothing hidden from God. Not your deepest fear, not your greatest desire. Nothing on all of creation is hidden from the sight of God. He's omniscient. He knows it all. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. All at the same time. He's a holy God. He's a God that longs for the praises of His people. And for however long I am on this earth, I will fulfill that purpose. And I know that you guys do too. And that is an encouragement to me. Bless the Lord. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning. After all, He is the welcome guest of honor in this place this morning. If He was not present, we would not need to be here. We could find other social things to keep us busy. Do you agree? Yeah. So it's very important to realize that where we gather in His name, He is here. He is the welcome guest of honor. So in preparation for the next 3 weeks, I asked the elders to take the next 3 weeks in a mini series. It's something that I've had burning in my heart for quite some time, and I never knew when I'd get opportunity to speak about this. And it's so aptly presented an opportunity just before Easter. We're going to be speaking about love. All the girls go, ooh, yeah. And all the guys go, oh, man, but we're going to be speaking about a different kind of love. But before we get going, let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are in our lives. Lord, we recognize that you are sovereign. And we recognize that you have got a purpose and a will. And Lord, I pray this morning as we delve into your word that you will allow us to delve deep into what you say about the topic of love and that people will understand clearly who you are and that you are worthy of love. You are worthy of adoration. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You see, when God created us, He created everything for His glory. We had a beautiful time with Roosevelt a couple of weeks ago, and he was speaking about worship. And he was speaking about the importance and the relevance of worship. Ephesians 5:19, when we do worship, we worship God in spirit and in truth, and we do not forsake the gathering of the saints like the writer in Hebrews say. Oh man, can I just pause for 2 seconds? We are a family, are we not? Ted Cox, it blesses me to see you. It blesses me to see you beyond measure. We've been praying for you, my brother. The Lord is faithful. We continue to pray for you for complete healing in Jesus' name. Amen. So we know that when we look at what Scott was speaking about last week, he was speaking about God working together for good all of these things, and he's got a purpose and he's got a will, and that is that he will get the glory. But the problem is we face a very stark opponent, the devil, that wants to come and kill, steal, destroy that. And he distorts what the Lord originally intended for his glory. And we see the outcome all through the New Testament. And Paul really goes, all 9 yards when he explains this. But let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 4. And before we read it, we see something similar in Romans 1, verse 20. You see, God gives us everything so that we can reflect his glory, just like the moon reflects the sun's glory back to the earth. The moon has got no light in its own right, but it only merely reflects the sun. So we, as the church, reflect the glory, are supposed to reflect the glory of God. But the devil comes and he clouds it. And he makes it, he distorts it completely so that we are no longer able, because our sin brings tarnishment. It tarnishes the shield with which we can reflect God's glory. And he knows it. But in Romans 12, God says, well, you've become too clever for your own good. So he gives them over to the lusts, to their sinful and wayward ways. But in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 4, he says this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come many times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, oh my word, he doesn't mince his words here, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You see, we were created in God's image. Our spiritual beings are created in the image of God. And if God is the full essence of love, we are created for love in return. But the devil takes that and he distorts it and he cloudies that. You see, when we keep God in the center of our lives, regardless of what you're facing, he clarifies everything through his word, through his promises that he gives us. When we remain close to God, what is the outflow? We get the Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is a natural outflow from us. But when we take God out of the picture, what happens? We take God out of our schools, and what's happening in our schools? It's total chaos. So my question is, have we let go of something which is so relevant and so significant in our lives? Have we let go of our first love? See, before we get to love, we're going to answer 3 questions. And the first is, what is love? What is love? Oh, love is just an emotion. I love eating pizza. I shouldn't. I'm sorry, Harry, I do. Speaking of which, the Daniel plan was such a roaring success. Thank you to Harry and Amber. It's permeated many a conversation in our household, I'll let you know. But my point being, when we take God out of the picture, everything is void. But what is love, all right? What is love? I love my children, love my wife, I love you guys, I love the church, I love what I do, love, 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 love. Now in the Oxford Dictionary, there are only 85,000 odd words, give or take. I haven't counted them, I'll take the people that know and have counted them, it's taken time to count them, words in the Oxford Dictionary, but in the Greek Dictionary, there's almost 300,000, so there's 5 times more vocabulary in the Greek. So the Greek is a little bit more explanative. It can give a little bit more of a diligent delving into some vocab. But we know that the word love is mentioned in the English Bible 684, between 684 and 686, depending on the version that you are reading. But in the Greek this morning, I'd like to focus on four words. And let's get some of the others out of the way before we get to actually where we are heading. So let's speak about eros. Eros, love, is a sexual love. It's a love between husband and wife, that which God intended to be pure within the marriage bed. Now, there's no mention of the word eros in the New Testament. There is a couple of references to that. We'll find that in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 5 and Hebrews 13 verse 4. It's the fourth type of love, which I'm starting with the first, but it expresses that sexual love. But the word is, like I said, nowhere found in the New Testament, but the context of physical love is found. Done with eros? Okay, good. Then there are two. There's philia love and storge love. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 to 10. If we can get that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9 to 10. It says, now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so much more and more. All right. So here it comes from the Greek word philia, which refers to friendship and camaraderie. The word is also translated philos, to philos mou, is friend in the New Testament. And once in Romans 12, verse 10, the New Testament uses the compound word philos storgos, which is philos and storge. Now storge is another word which relates to the natural familial love. Now this, in context, would be the love between a brother and a sister. All right, or family members. We would find that most probably in context, the story of Lazarus, all right, and his family, storge. In philos storgos, you would find that then as a compound word in Romans 12, verses 1. But those are the three that I wanted to mention. Honorable mentions, but the one that's most important is agape. Agape love. Now, this is a love that is pure. Agape love is so pure that it looks past all blemishes and it looks beyond that with absolute purity. It is a love that is selfless. So whenever you do something that is selfless, you are acting in agape love. It is a love that is sacrificial. Whenever you sacrifice something that you love, now there's an ad in South Africa, it's about Rolos. Have we got Rolos in America? I can't remember. All right. And there's a beautiful ad that says, it's my last Rolo, but you can have it. That is sacrificial love. All right, you sacrifice that which you also love, and you give that. You give the last Rolo away. All right, I haven't had a Rolo in years. All right, cool. It is steadfast. Now, if I think about steadfast, it is continuous. There's a saying, consistency conquers in the business world, right? If you're consistent and if you're faithful in consistency, in the end, it conquers. Now, agape love is steadfast. It is unchanging. It's one of the characteristics of God, is his immutability. And he has loved us with an everlasting love. So the characteristic of God is love. It's agape. Agape love. It's unchanging. And bless the Lord, it is unconditional. It's totally unconditional, regardless of what I've thought this morning, regardless of what I've done. Isn't it amazing that the worst points of conflict always happen before church? Or are we the only family in the world to try and get the herd of geese out of the house by a certain time. And everyone's like, we had a point of conflict this morning in our house this morning to try and get everybody to church this morning. But the Lord's love for us is unconditional. Agape love is unconditional. And thank the Lord for his agape love over us. Regardless of where we've been, regardless of what we've done, oh man, great is the Lord's love for us. So that is love. That is the love. Now, if we look at the next question, who should we love? Who should we love? Now, God, if he's planted us in us the seed of his Holy Spirit, and the outflowing of that is Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, love. Let's look at love. So love is a natural outflow of what God has already placed in our lives. Do you agree with me? But who should we love in this life? The Bible is very clear. And if we look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it's one of the greatest commandments in the Bible. It's the golden thread in the Bible. Moses writing, he says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Deuteronomy 10:12, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God by walking in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul?" And then Jesus, he says, what is the greatest commandment? Someone asked him. He says, that is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. We're going to pause in that because there's two parts of the great commandment. We're going to delve into the next part next week. But Jesus also saying here, if you truly, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. So here is an instruction. If you call yourself a Christian, what is a Christian? Someone that wears the name of Christ on you. If you call yourself a Christian and you have made a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, if there was a day where you said, no longer me, but Jesus, take the wheel, he is now Lord of your life. If you call yourself a Christian, he calls you to love. He calls you to love with a pure love. Because if we look at the Greek, it's speaking in the second person word, agapesis. It's in the futuristic agapezo, agapesis, right? First person, agapezo, I will love. Agapesis is you will, in future, love. So there's migration, and the root of that is agape. So we love God with this kind of love. And Strong's, the concordance, it says, to love is to wish well to take pleasure in, or to long for. I remember when I started dating my wife. There was nothing that she could do wrong, and I could do nothing wrong in her eyes, hopefully. But there was a longing for when we were apart. There was a take pleasure in being with that person. There was a, I wish everything well for her. But that is the root that we're dealing with, agape love. And it speaks there, he says, you shall love the Lord your God. You are a Christian, so you shall love with a full agape love. That is what God calls us to do. But I dare say that we don't really take that seriously. Because we love other things other than God. The first thought, I've spoken so many times, the first thought of when I wake up in the morning, what is that first thought? Is it to say good morning to God? So many of you guys, when I greeted you this morning, like four or five, you said, well, I'm alive and I'm happy to be here. That is a great thing. We are all alive right now. You're hearing the sound of my voice. So therefore, you're all sitting in church, which means you are trying to get your best to a position where you can love God. Love God with an agape love. We can't do it fully without the help of the Holy Spirit, but to love the Lord with all our heart, cardia. It speaks of the heart, the thoughts, or the feelings. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Let's go there. Proverbs 23, verse 7. In the New King James Version, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Matthew 6, 19 to 21, it says, your heart is where your treasure lies. Your heart is where your treasure lies. My question this morning is, where is your treasure this morning? I'm reminded of the story in the Bible where a man discovers a treasure. I don't know. Do you guys like treasure? I love treasure. Hey, who you guys? I'm fascinated by guys going out onto the beach with metal detectors, and then they find a gold coin, or they find coins, and they do all these, or gold necklace. Am I the only guy, or are you guys not fascinated? Okay, so I'm fascinated with treasure. Many people killed for treasure, pirates, and many wars were fought over gold and over treasures. So my question this morning is, where is your treasure this morning? What goes on in your heart? What part of your heart is still not given over to the full lordship of Jesus Christ? It's a question only you can answer. I mean, I can answer that question for myself, and I fall short daily. But then thank the Lord for His Holy Spirit that is walking with me, that is bringing the conviction. It's His kindness that keeps pulling me back into repentance. My question is, what do you treasure this morning more than God? And at that stage, you've got a decision to make. Do you treasure playing your guitar more than loving God? Your work, your hobbies, your exercise routines. What more has taken its rightful place in your life other than a love for God? And my hope is that you will deal with that this morning and place Jesus Christ in the rightful place in your life. Because your heart is where your treasure lies. And with all your soul, comes from suko, breath. And you know, I know within context, it speaks about everything with your soul, your very essence, your very being. But I see it like this. This morning we sang two songs, and it speaks about we breathe in, and then we charge the atmosphere with something. What are you charging the atmosphere with? Are you charging, exactly, are you charging the atmosphere with love for God? With what is in your heart. Whatever is in the heart, what the heart is full, the mouth speaks over. What are you charging with, the atmosphere with? Are you charging it with a love for God? And in turn, does you loving God point other people to God? Or is it so concealed when we know that a city on a hill cannot be hid? A light under a bucket. No, guys, we've got so much more to be able to take this which God has given us, share. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Is it a natural outflowing with everything that you've got? You know, I'm thinking about David in the Bible. David, he was many things. He was a psalmist. He was a hunter. He was a protector. He was one that loved to worship God, see nature, and assimilate that. But he was also a murderer. He was also an adulterer. Yet, what was written about him is a man after God's own heart. I do believe that he was so in love with God. And when sin took hold of him and distorted, remember what we spoke about? The devil comes and he distorts that which God has given us, which is supposed to be to live for the glory of God. When the devil came and he sideswiped David's legs from him and he fell in sin, he distorted that love from God. And then Nathan the prophet, he comes and he brings a beautiful, and he, you know what's interesting about that? He speaks to David in his own terminology. I've never really considered that. But think about it like this. He says, consider there's a man with a sheep and he loves and he cherishes this one sheep. What does he do? He speaks to David in his own language, the language that he grew up with. Wow, I've never considered that. But he comes and he brings that and he speaks that into his heart and he realizes, oh, I've sinned. And we all know we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says that, all right? But David cannot bear to be separated from God, from the presence of God. His sin has brought a separation between him and God. He cannot bear that. And he deals with that sin. And the moment the sin has taken place, now he's in relationship with God again. And his love to God has now got open communication channels. This morning, what is stopping you from loving God? Maybe your treasure is in the right place, but there might be something that has brought a separation between you and God this morning. My question is, what is that thing? Because sin is a nasty thing. It comes in with a slither and you start entertaining it. Then eventually you start accepting it. And in the end, you celebrate it. And then the end comes. What in your life is that thin slither of sin that you are just entertaining in the furthest corner of your heart this morning? Deal with it. Because if you don't, it will deal with you. Trust me. Deal with it and deal with it today. Today is the day of salvation. Make right today. Don't think tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll look after it. That's okay. Just one more day of entertainment because then we won't ever do it. Deal with it today. So, how should we love is the third question. Question number two, who? God. Number three, how? Here's where it gets practical. Got 10 more minutes. Are you guys alive? Are you guys awake? All right, cool. All right, how should we love God? How should we love God? Some practical things. We love God by giving Him praise. The psalmist writes, well, actually Samuel writes about the psalmist, and he says this about David. He says, therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. So no matter what situation you're in, giving God the glory through praise, help us show our love and our appreciation for God. It does two things. It does that once. And the second thing that it does, it restores our attitudes. Because the moment that you look past whatever's happening around you and you focus to God and you focus on your love for God and you start praising Him for everything that He's done for you, you declare His faithfulness. Think about it. Lord, I know that whatever I'm facing right now, you're taking me through, just like you did when, and then you praise the Lord for what He has done in your life. And what it does, immediately you start to speak positively. You speak words of life over your situation. You declare God's faithfulness in the morning, actually His promise in the morning and His faithfulness at night. That's how we act in faith. Promise in the morning, Lord, you said it, I trust you for it, all right? Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. So we walk a lifestyle of faith. In the morning, you declare His promise, and at night you say, God, thank you for what you've done this day. You have been so faithful to me. But you start by giving God praise. He's due the praise anyway. We were created for praise anyway. And you know what? If we keep silent, the rocks will cry out, it is written. I don't want to let a rock do my job for me. Even donkeys will speak. But I choose this morning to declare the praises of the Lord. Not because of what He's done, but for who He is. Because once we get a revelation of who He is, we worship. We worship. All right. Number two. There's seven ways. Number two, praying to God. Praying to God. Prayer is one of the strongest forms of intimacy that we can have with the Lord. Now, who's the great revivalist I so often speak about? Now his name eludes me and I haven't got it in my notes. Steve Wigglesworth, all right, in the earlier parts of the century, they said, well, how often do you pray? How much do you pray? Spend time in prayer. Now, whether you like him or whether you don't like him, this is what he said. He says, I don't pray for more than 15 minutes. What? The great Smith Wigglesworth. Don't pray for more than 15 minutes. He said, but there's not 15 minutes that passes without me praying. So it speaks about a lifestyle of being in communion with God. It speaks about a lifestyle of loving God by speaking to God. Do you know we honor God by sharing life, our lives with Him every day? He knows what you're going through. All you're doing is confessing, and that means you're coming in line with who God is in your life. And that is what? His sovereignty. God is sovereign. So when we speak to Him, when we praise Him, we come in line with who we are purposed to be, and we honor Him. We love Him. David, I know I should pray. We've got the prayer team. Don spoke about the prayer team. Laura, you do such a great work. But the Bible says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But why don't I always get what I pray for? Why does it feel like God is never listening? Because I never receive what I pray for. Have you ever considered that God's got a will and a plan and a purpose for your life? And that we have to pray in accordance to His will? Wow. He is God and I am not. See, that's the essence. He is God and I am not. So when we pray, Lord Jesus gave us a beautiful example. In Matthew, He says, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In John 15, speaks about remaining in Him. Jesus speaks about, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Ah, you see, David, he says it, ask for whatever you wish. And it will be done by my Father who is in heaven. He says, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. He says, because if we remain in Christ and His words remain in, we've got a different perception about life. We therefore make kingdom principles our principles. And the things, the Porsche 911, which I'd love to have, yeah, all right, becomes no longer relevant or important, because do not store up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust can destroy. Rather, accumulate treasure for yourself in heaven where no thief can rob or steal you. My question is this morning, when you do pray, with which application do you pray? Do you pray with kingdom-minded principles in the bottom of your heart? Or is it just for your own selfish gain? Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Hey, my name is Jimmy, give me, give me, give me. I'm being honest here this morning. If I'm not, I would fail you. So when you pray, do you pray, Lord, I don't know why you have taken me what you've taken me through. But my question is not to ask why. My question is, what are you showing me? Where are you growing me? Where are you leading me? Where are you changing me to be more like Jesus? You see, if we pray like that, oh man, God the Father is moved. He says, here's a guy that has got full understanding of his purpose and where he fits into the bigger picture. That makes it a little bit more bearable when the things don't go our way. Thank you, Lord, that I know that all these things will work together for my good. You will get the glory in the end. Reading the Bible. Number three, reading the Bible, reading God's Word. Don't know about you, and By no stretch of the imagination am I saying this to be the standard, but I've kept all of the love letters between me and Diane. All right, I will not share where said location of all those letters are, because then I'll get blackmailed, I'm sure. By my kids, that is, all right? But I know exactly where that folder, envelope with all of those letters are. And guess what? Every so often, I go and I read some of them. And it is wonderful. Why? Because the moment I read it, I realize, oh man, there was a point where we were going through this thing. And then still she affirmed her love for me, regardless of what I said, or regardless of what. Isn't that awesome? That is what God has given us in His Word. This is a love letter to us. We show God love by reading His Word. But I want to encourage you, don't just read the Word. Let head knowledge become heart knowledge. Let gravity sink in. Men, which is the scripture that we got? Proverbs 3:3-6. What is it? Let love and what? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind it around your necks. Write it onto the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and the sight of man. Pause. When that doesn't happen, when all things don't go your way, God, I've loved, I've been faithful, blah, blah. Then trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't try and figure it out. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen? Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your path straight. But Romans 15 verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. My question is, have you seemed a little bit hopeless of what's going on in our country? There's a solution. Read God's Word. What are you memorizing? What are you internalizing? What are you regurgitating? Is that a terrible word to say in church? But what are you saying over and over and over? What are you thinking? What are you meditating? What are you feeding your soul? You see, because the moment of pressure comes, and it's like a sponge. Whatever is in the sponge, whenever it gets prodded and pushed, it oozes out. What oozes out when you get pushed and prodded? Is it God's Word? If it's not God's Word, because when you're pushed and prodded, that's not the right time to run to God's Word. It's almost too late. It needs to permeate every decision. It needs to invigorate everything in your heart. Because if it's not God's Word, I dare say you have lost maybe a little bit of the first love for God. It's His love letter to you. If you're looking at rekindling a love relationship with God, read His love letters. Good. Number four, loving those around us. Isn't it great to be in church this morning? Loving those around us. We show God's love when we show others love. Oh man, that's why I love what's happening in the church. The care and prayer ministry, man, we are connected. That with which Paul is mentioning, right for life. I mean, that connects us as a body. Isn't it beautiful that we can do life together? The path to sanctification never happens on its own. Have you ever considered that? We need each other as iron sharpens iron. We were never meant to do life on our own. That's why we are called the body of Christ. That's why we are the family. Amen? We're not supposed to do life on our own. And just as God has shown us favor, patience, grace, and mercy, so we do that for one another. I fail those that I love daily, a couple of times most probably. But when people do that to me, what am I doing? Oh man, you knew I couldn't trust them. I just knew it from the moment I saw him. Couldn't do it. Or, Lord, okay, help me. All right, let's go. Patience, grace, just a little bit of grace. Sometimes a little bit of understanding also helps. Oh, explain to me how this happened. All right. But as we love one another, we show God's love. We show God that we love Him because we obey His commandments to love one another. John 13, verses 34 to 35. A new commandment I give you. What is the new commandment? It's not the old law. Old law was really overlooked by other than the Jewish people. Now it's Jew and Gentile. But Jesus says here, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How has Christ loved us? Think about it just for 2 seconds. No, 10. How has Christ loved us? Even on the cross, He said, "Forgive them, Lord, because they do not know what they're doing." The very people that crucified Him, they didn't know what He... That's how Christ loved us. So He says, as I've loved you, you love one another. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's reaffirmed in John 15 as well. I want to encourage you this morning to keep the account short, especially in church. Because there's no perfect church. There's no perfect parishioners. There's no perfect attendees. There's no perfect ministry. We're all flawed people that's having a good go at loving God and loving people. I want to pause there for a second. When I was in business in South Africa, it was drilled into me in business that you have to become a yellow stop sign business. What on the earth is he talking about? Yellow stop sign. From here to your home, how many stop signs are there? Have you ever counted them? No. Why? They all look the same and there are so many. But imagine one of those signs, just one of the plethora of stop signs, are yellow with luminous pink stop letters written on it. Do you think that you'll remember that specific one? Why? It's different. It's unique. It stands out, one from the other. Still fulfills the same purpose, but it's different. This church, what is our yellow stop sign tag? What makes us different? I dare say it's where we're heading, and that's to love God, love people, love His word, love worship. There are many other churches that are stop signs. They all fulfill what God has called them to do, but this church will be that church. With all of my heart, I believe it. Amen. Glory to God. And may the Lord help us, give us strength, and guide us to be that yellow stop sign church, to be that church of what I've just spoken of. If that's truly your heart's desire. You see, when you pray for that, oh man, I'm praying that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because you're asking according to His purpose for this church, to be a church that is known to love Him. Amen? Number 5, tithing. God doesn't need your money. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the God. Why should I tithe? It's because it's for you. You're showing in great gratitude, Lord, I'm honoring you with the first fruits. Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with all your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Malachi 3, it says, God speaking about, test me in this and see if I will. You can do that. New Testament speaks about no man should give begrudgingly, but each should give in his heart as they've purposed. Here, it's not about giving God money. It's about you honoring the Lord and saying, Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. And when the need is, you always provide. You recognize the Lord and you love God by that which you sacrificially give. Shall we give the Lord that which cost us nothing? Having said that, even with what we've gone through as a church, you guys have remained faithful. It is the most awesome thing to live through. Wow. Wow. There was a time, number six, fasting. There was a time when I needed to seek the Lord so diligently, so profoundly, so deeply, because our future for this country depended upon it. See, when my business visa ran its course, we needed a church to employ us. And there was no church on the horizon, so I started fasting and praying. It was the most difficult thing in my life. I mean, I fasted maybe for half a day. But this time round, it was a little bit more severe. Because I trusted the Lord to take my family of five across the pond, uproot, sell, follow the Lord, following His calling, where He's opened the doors. And now it seems like every single door is shut. So when I started fasting for the second time in my life, it was so intense for me because it shows God that even though, and trust me, I love eating, I'm a guy. But here's the thing, it shows God that even though that which is happening inside of me is groaning, and it pushes me forward to seek God's will rather than food. And you know what? The Lord honored us. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Lord would have done this or that. Maybe He would have, but I firmly believe that when we seek God with total, earnest fervency, I do believe it moves God. It moves God's heart for us. We show God, finally, that we honor Him and that we love Him when we have hope. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Oh, man. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Hopefully the day that we see Jesus on the clouds. But at the end of the day, this, we are living what the Scripture is speaking of. We are living in the hope that Jesus Christ is coming again. We sang about it this morning. David, how do you choose the songs? Well, I try and find out who's preaching, and I choose the songs that will stave that, that will support that. But the bride, us, the church, is a church that is longing for Jesus to return, and we live in that hope. And when we act on that hope, and we see that hope, we say, God, we love You. We're looking for You. We cannot wait for Your triumphant return. We love God when we show those things. My question is, do we spur one another on? I've got a select few people in my life that keep prodding me and keep pushing me. It's like, not this way, not that way. All right, you go. Brother Larry, don't we do? Right? But my point being, who in your life is spurring you on, if not these people? If not the people that God have called together for a time and a purpose such as this? Who's spurring you on? Therefore, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Oh, do we just want a full church? No, the full church will come if we love one another, if we love God, if we worship God in spirit and in truth. The full church will come. These are the people that are currently in this church. Look around. These are your neighbors. How are you spurring one another on? How are you living in hope? Hopefully I do that, because if I don't do that, I fail you. But how do we do that for one another? True sanctification can only happen through true discipleship. We read about it, and then we make ourselves accountable to one another and say, listen, my brother, I'm struggling with this. Pray with me. We do life together. Because if you try and do it on your own, no man is an island. I've spoken about the coal, burning coal out of the fire, within the fire. It's fulfilling 100% of its role, and it's safe in the fire, all right? But on its own, it's now a danger to those little feet running around the barbecue pit. Yes, it's a danger, and it's not fulfilling. Try and grill a piece of meat on one coal. It's not fulfilling its purpose. It will also burn out a lot quicker than when it's in the fire community. Think about it. God has called us for community. Spur one another on. And then in closure, in all of these things that we have said, we know that we are to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. Are we giving praise to God daily? Because if you're not, start your day with that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice in it and be glad. Make a decision. Are you speaking to the Lord as though you are in love with Him? Are you living your life with Him? Are you reading His love letters to you? Are you loving those around you? Are you giving? Are you fasting? And do you have hope? See, church, if you lose your hope, what is your testimony? The whole world has lost hope. Jesus Christ is our living hope. Do not lose your hope. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we know that you have called us to love. And Lord, as a church, I believe that we have got our priorities in the right place. But this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us for forsaking our first love for you. And I pray that you will continue to stir within us a love so deep as a church and so unified that it will be undeniable to whoever we speak to. Lord, I pray that the love that we've got for you will show so profoundly to everybody that we speak to that no one can deny that we are in love with a living God and that we are in relationship with the living God. Lord, this is my prayer, Lord, that this church will be a church that is in love with you. This church is a church that loves your word, loves to worship you, loves one another. Lord, I pray that you will stir within us that, Lord, into fruition. Please do that, Lord Jesus. You might be here this morning and say, David, I have forsaken my first love. I have let other things cloud my thoughts. I've let circumstances build walls around my heart. And I'm done. I want to return. You might be here and you've heard this word and you are completely unfamiliar with what we're speaking because you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. I want to urge you this morning, do not leave this church without that changing. So Lord Jesus, we pray that you will truly just permeate every life right now. Change every heart to be more in love with you. In Jesus' name we pray.